Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Tom Cashman here. This is episode 20. I can't believe we've gotten here. 20 times I've actually had something to say and decided to hit record and just go nuts. And but anyway, I appreciate everybody's listenership, first of all, and your comments and your suggestions. 20 episodes. This is great. Catching up to Joe Rogan, right? Anyway, normally I do an intro and then some music and I get right into the topic. I'm not doing that today. I got too much to talk about with this topic here, and we're just going to get right into it. As you know, Father's Day is coming up. It's I think it's about 8 days away from today. And, you know, Father's Day to me, it was always, you know, as a kid, it was primarily, you know, on a hot Sunday, Phillies were always on, just watching the game, Big Jim in his recliner. I would usually sit on the floor and people would come by and, you know, the normal gift for my dad was socks and underwear, which is great because, well, he claims allegedly some of my older brothers stole his. So much so that this is a did you know, he had a padlock on his sock and underwear drawer. Swear to God, he had a padlock. Of course, those guys knew where the key was, so it wasn't a big deal. But anyway, that was, you know, that was Father's Day as a kid. And Father's Day to me will always be about my dad. Even though I'm a dad now, I'll always revert back to what Father's Day means. And it was always about my dad. Now, I'm sure, you know, things have definitely changed since I became a dad. I enjoy it so much. And I know my kids enjoy it. And, you know, my wife does a great job of making them think that they had a lot to do with everything. They just got to be there, right? And that's I didn't do anything special for my dad. We were just there, right? Just hang out for the day, right? Nothing's more important today. And so hopefully, you know, he appreciated that. But you know what? When I became a dad, you know, it was a little bit different, you know, because I lost my dad at 18. And then, you know, I became a dad at, I don't even know how old I was. Jeez, 30, almost 38, right? So 20 some years went by and, it was just weird that Father's Day was now about me. You know, as people know me, I'm not, you know, I'm very introverted and things like that. I don't, you know, go out and, you know, expect a lot, you know what I mean? Very modest that way. But, you know, I just have to go back to, you know, when I was 18 and, you know, had I known, you know, the last time I saw my dad that was going to be it. I wish I could have said more things, but A, I didn't know. B, I was 18 and, you know, stupid. But, you know, I carried that around with me for a long time, right? Like a long time. Like I regret it not saying what I had to say. And I remember making a promise to myself, that's never going to happen again. If I ever get a chance to do that, then I would take that chance. And, you know, even though it's uncomfortable, I would, you know, say what I needed to say. And then, you know, 5 years ago, Big Mayor passed and I was able to do that. You know, I was able to say all the things I wanted to say and thank her. And, you know, I just, you know, things that I just appreciate it, you know what I mean? And things I've learned from her. And, I was just so comfortable and open and I wasn't afraid. And I felt like that weight that I carried around with me all that time just disappeared and she made it okay. Right. And what's important about that is I forgave myself, right, for that time. You know, we do this all the time. We put all this extra pressure on ourselves. And, you know, we're our own worst critic. We're the judge, we're the jury, we're the executioner. Most of our problems are in between the ears. And, you know, we carry it around like a dead corpse on our shoulder everywhere we go. And it affects everything. It affects your relationships, everything. So, you know, I was able to, you know, say things to my mom that I always wanted to. And, you know, I was like a relief, right? It really was. And so I kind of like, You know, I was not relieved that my mom died. I was more relieved that I was able to say goodbye properly. I was able to thank her, and I was able to do all the things I couldn't do with my dad. And that's why I think about on Father's Day. I now enjoy it much more that I've had the chance to, you know, kind of redeem myself in my own eyes, right? That I was able to do that. Now, I know that not everybody has the greatest relationship with their fathers. They might not be here, which is, I know that's the case for, you know, a lot of people that I know. And then there's, you know, there's people that really have a great relationship with their fathers, and I admire them very much as well. And then there's the third group that, you know, they have a father, but either, you know, relationship is strained, or they're in a weird place right now, or they're not, you know, talking, or whatever it may be. And for those people, I think, you know, this is going to ring, you know, truer for them than it would be for those of us that don't have our dads anymore, because honestly, there's nothing you can do. We cannot talk to our dads anymore. We cannot. If we left it a certain way, that's the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives. And if we harp on that and we punish ourselves, then it's going to be something we're just going to have to deal with. But that's on us. You know, that's, you know, my dad's not going to tell me anything anymore. He's not going to, he can't talk to me. He can't, you know, say his side. So I have to, you know, internalize that and say, hey, you know, that was on me if I, you know, didn't say anything. It's on me if I thought a certain way. I got to get out of that. So I thought, you know, it would be something, you know, little interactive moment here. If I asked you, for those of you that still have your dad, if you were to describe him with one word, what would it be? You know, I'm imagining different answers based on, you know, your current relationship. And so, you know, as you think about your one word and, you know, right from the gut, right? And it could be anything. You know, I'm sure there would be a mix of, you know, awesome and, you know, grandfather and friend, maybe. I'm sure there's some on the other side, maybe disappointed, maybe, you know, absent, maybe, I don't know. You could use whatever words that you want. But, you know, if it's negative and that person is still alive, then there's a chance. There's a chance to make that right. And it's a two-way street, no doubt about it. And I think, you know, somebody needs to take that first step. Because like I said, for me, it's too late. Now, the word I use to describe my dad is legendary. That's the best word I can think of, right? I can't describe him, you know, with a, you know, a current word. So, you know, the way I immortalize my dad is legendary. And you know, that's how I'm going to remember him. But for you that still have a dad and, you know, you maybe don't have the best word. You know, I think, you know, you have to remember that at any point, and this is going to sound cliche, but at any point, this could be your last day. I did not get any warning. And I know a lot of people did not get any warnings when, you know, their fathers may have passed. And, you know, I carried around regret for 23 years. Knowing that I didn't say what I had to say. And I want you to think about that because I'm never going to have that chance. So luckily my mom was there for me to kind of pay that back, but you might not be that lucky. And so I want you to think about that, you know, as we move ahead. There's one thing that you have to understand, that in your life, you are the primary character in your story. Okay? You know who you are. Now, sometimes that's covered up with a bunch of crap, but deep down inside, you know who you are. And it's not what you have. It's not where you went to school, the car, the job, money or anything like that. Deep down inside, you know, who you are is at, you know, a core that no one else will ever know. I don't care if you live somebody with for 1,000 years, nobody will ever truly know who you are, because that part of you will never be exposed. That stuff that you keep to yourself. And everybody else in your life is a secondary character in your story, right? The problem is you make that character, okay? Somebody comes into your life, okay? And you've put them in a certain bucket, right? And you give them rules just like you would. You're the director of a movie and you say, okay, you're a father, you're supposed to, you know, you have a job, you're supposed to provide for your family, you make money, but you're also supposed to, you know, help me with baseball and my homework and with driving and shaving and girls and stuff like that. That's what fathers are supposed to do. Because you built it. You built that image of that person. Well, what happens if that image, that other person, shows you something that is different from your image? And historically, what we do in that case is we attack that other image, right? Because this is our story. This is how I see you. If I see something else, that's not true. That's, I don't know what that is, but no, you're supposed to fit in the bucket that I created for you. And you're supposed to fit the image that I made for you. You're not supposed to do certain things. You're not supposed to say certain things. This is my story. And I command you to follow exactly what I want. How's that working out? You know, because this is not the first probably person you've done this with. It probably happens in a lot of relationships. I'm sure at some point, somebody else has come into your life that you thought they were a certain way, and they changed gears on you and you went, what? What are you doing? This is not who you are. And you had a problem with that. And in some cases, you end that relationship. Maybe it was just like a childhood friend, maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, right? So, you know, to say that, you know, you couldn't do that to your father is, no, that's the way the brain works. You know, this is our story, your secondary character, and you have to obey the laws of the character that I built for you. It doesn't work that way. You know this, right? You already know this, so this is not new. I mean, you're a secondary character in other people's stories. Didn't you ever do something different against what somebody thought of you? And, you know, they either talk to you about it, or, you know, what are you doing? What are you, crazy? Or they cut you out of your life. Wow, that's happened many times to me. I know that for a fact, because suddenly I don't fit the image that they had portrayed in their mind about me, but they don't know me and they don't know you, and you don't know your father, or maybe he doesn't know you. Either way, again, it's a two-way street, but it really comes down to two things: understanding and awareness. Those are two very important things. People change, and you need to accept that. People are dynamic. They're fluid. Minds change all the time. It's your issue if somebody changes and you don't like it. That is completely on you. You can't let your preconceived notions about somebody make that the only version of that person. Again, they are secondary characters, and you have to let them be who they are. And guess what? Letting somebody be who they are and not judging that, and not putting them into a bucket, just enjoying their presence, it's called something else, and it's called love. And that's what we're talking about here today. When we come back, we're going to finish up. Stay tuned. So if there's one thing that I can just, I don't know, bury into your brain today, and I think a lot of you have this. I mean, most of the people I know, like 90%, right, they're good with this, right? They understand it. They understand how the mind works, and you know, and you can't do anything about people changing. You can't do anything about, I don't know, somebody who, you know, you think you know them, and something changes, and then you kind of have a different opinion of them. We do that all the time. And I mean, in some cases it makes sense, right? I mean, if your friend was a mass murderer and then you kind of say, maybe not come over the house, right? That's a little bit of extreme. But how bad is it with like your father, right? Or your, you know, any family member, really? How bad is it? Is it he was a mass murderer and now he's coming to your house? Really, how bad is it, right? Check your ego, right? Talk it out. If you're frustrated, say something. Go to town, scream match, right? But then listen. You can be skeptical, but learn to listen, okay? And then maybe you'll have a little bit of more understanding of where the other person came from. This is how relationships work. This is how they've always worked. It's always a two-way street. It's awareness and understanding. Giving somebody the chance to speak and let them say their part, then you get to say your part, right? But at some point, the only way you're going to come together, the only way that you're going to move it to the next level is by reviewing things in your own brain, taking some accountability into this thing. Maybe, is there something that I did? Maybe I was a little too hard. Maybe I didn't fully understand, you know, the big picture. Maybe I wasn't privy to certain conversations. Maybe there's a reason why this happened. Maybe there's a reason why I was cut out of the conversation, right? You can't make it all about you. There's always going to be circumstances that are out of your control. It may affect you, true. But there's maybe a reason why, you know, this happened and you were not aware of it. But you have a chance to repair that. But not when they're gone. Then you lose that chance for the rest of your life. And it doesn't come back. Yes, I feel better that I was able to say the things to my mom that I didn't get a chance to say with my dad. Huge burden off my shoulder. But I will never forget that. And I still hold some of that regret. But I was able to forgive myself for holding on to that regret. I know it's not my fault. I just didn't take the chance. But I can just try harder. I made a mistake. And I can do it for the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Nobody said you're not allowed to make mistakes, right? I mean, you could be a complete, you know, absolute idiot, right? And destroy relationships. They may never get repaired. They might not. Okay, fine. Own it. That's on me. I made that mistake. If I don't want to lose any more relationships, there's certain things that I need to work on. It starts with awareness, definitely. It starts with understanding, absolutely. Those two things are absolutely critical. But there's one thing worse than death, and that is regret. You know, because, you know, you could see it in people's faces, especially, you know, they're older and, you know, they're in the fourth quarter maybe of their lives, and you can tell by looking at somebody's face that they're carrying around way too much regret. You know, when you're 20, 30, you know, there's things that you didn't do in your life. Maybe you didn't finish college. I just finished college about 5 years ago. Okay. That was something that I would have regretted for the rest of my life if I didn't do that. So I pushed and I got it done. Now I don't have to worry about that. There's certain things that I've always wanted to do. You know, I wanted to make a CD and I made like three or four of them. And if I didn't do that, even when I'm 45, I still get a chance. I play with guys that are in their 60s and 70s. They're still rocking out. So I always have a chance there. Right. But what happens when you're 80, 85, and there's certain things in life you never got a chance to do? That regret shows in your face and you can't go back. It's too late. You know, you can't go back to your 30s. By then you've probably lost most of your relationships. Maybe they're no longer here. You're not going to get a chance to make this reparation. And if you had the chance, at what point, what day would you go back to your life and say, this is the day I wish I would have said, reach out, talk, have some understanding, be patient, understand that it's a dynamic process, but I want to make this relationship work. I want to repair this because I don't want to live with this regret for the rest of my life. Because I'm telling you right now, when it's too late, it's too late. And what's worse, being wrong or losing somebody that you really do care about and you let them go and you'll never see them again, you'll never talk to them again, all because you have to hold on to being right. That's on you. It's always on you. I talked about forgiving myself for not saying things to my dad. You have to have forgiveness in your heart. You absolutely have to. Not just other people, you have to be able to forgive yourself because, look, you got yourself into this mess. If your mind got you into something, please don't think that your mind is going to get you out. It's set up to make you do certain things, to repeat certain things. You're in a habit. Next thing you know, you identify with a certain level of thinking and it just drags you down until you just can't fight anymore. That's why you need other people in your life to give you shots in the arm. I have a lot of those people, and many different times I've had a certain thought process and somebody is always there to say, dude, stop it, right? Like, the best advice I ever got, and I don't even remember who said it, and I apologize, but I was rambling on about something, and the person just said, dude, listen to yourself. And I was like, at first, I was like, man, like, what do you mean, listen to myself? What are you talking about? And they said it again, listen to yourself. And I'm like, it was kind of weird. It was almost like a computer program that had like a loop, right? That suddenly went, next thing you know, the computer crashes. So listen, me listening to myself, right? So that means that somebody else is talking, but I'm listening. Whoa, what the hell is going on here? But it makes sense. There's stuff that comes out of our mouth and our brain, but we kind of have to like regurgitate that back to ourselves. We have to kind of like listen back. And eventually, the parts of our brain that kind of figure out things like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense at all, right? Only because we're like saying it out loud and we're listening to it, our brain is processing it. And eventually it's going to find a hole in there and be like, that you're not making any sense whatsoever. And if you could figure that out on your own, if you could tell yourself that you're not making any sense and you're just rattling and, you know, eventually you kind of come out of it, right? But you don't get there by keeping all this stuff to yourself and building up these walls and I'm right and they're wrong and you're supposed to do this and you're not doing that. I have this image of you that you're not fitting and it's all one way. You're going at somebody else. It's always somebody else's problem. Somebody else did this. Somebody else did this. It's all on you. It's always all been on you again, right? It doesn't make any sense, right? Guess what? Sometimes you're wrong. Okay. And you have to come up with that like understanding and you have to forgive yourself. I'm sorry. You were wrong in this case. And maybe the other side was wrong too. And they have to own up to that. But if you're both willing to do that, hey, I think that's a good start, don't you? But listen, if you don't have forgiveness in your hearts, there's a couple things that I recommend that you not do. Don't get married. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, please don't get married because, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, you're going to have like a little argument or whatever. And, you know, if that lasts too long of a time and neither side is willing to own up to what they did, not gonna last too long. You know what I mean? You feel it. You feel it in the air, right? Like, man, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, maybe I was a little too strong with some of the words that I used. That's, you know, that's part of being in a healthy relationship. And then you kind of go back and be like, yeah, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I didn't mean to say it that way. Or, you know, I probably, you know, shouldn't have worded it a certain way. And then something magical happens. Like a lot of times you'll get that reciprocated. You both admit it something and then you come back stronger. Right. And that respect that you have now is like, wait a minute. So I'm allowed to make mistakes if I own it and the other side kind of takes a piece of that and it's a two-way street. Things are great and they are and they can be. So if you could do that with your spouse, you could certainly do that with your dad, don't you think? Otherwise, don't get married. If you're not going to have forgiveness in your heart, please don't. And God forbid, please don't. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, kids are not an option for you. They are not an option for you. They don't even know what they do. They're not doing anything on purpose, right? But they're going to break stuff of yours. They're going to do things they're not supposed to. You know, they're going to drive you crazy. They're going to do all these things. But if you can't forgive your kids for being kids and making mistakes, you're going to have a hard time. And next thing you know, maybe the strained relationship between father and son could be yours. Because if you haven't learned how to forgive yourself and forgive other people, how can you teach that to your kids? You can't. You cannot give what you do not have. You can't teach them to be, you know, in strong relationships and make mistakes and take ownership and have forgiveness and have understanding and have awareness if you don't have that. And if you don't teach that to them, who's going to teach it to them? Not teachers. That's, you know, this is not math and science. This is common core human stuff, man. This is, you know, how you carry yourself. This is how you build your image of self. You know, and you know, I got that from my parents, my older brothers and sisters. That's who helped build mine. You know what I mean? So, you know, look, man, with Father's Day coming up, you know, it's always a, you know, it's, I enjoy the day because of my kids, but I always hat tipped a big gym. And, you know, I still remember those days as a kid. And I want to be the kind of dad that he was. Now, listen, you don't have to be BFFs with your dad. I certainly wasn't a BFF with my dad, but I respected him, you know, because, you know, he left the house, came back 15, 16 hours later, sometimes with donuts. But, you know, I never heard him complain, not one time. I mean, I have a relatively easy job, right? You know what I mean? I work on a computer, I figure solutions out, you know, tech stuff. I complain all the time. He worked 16 hours on his feet, right? In hot, sweaty kitchens. Never heard him complain one time. And so he had a sense of duty and he wanted to provide for his family. And by the way, he put us all through Catholic school. We could have went through the public school route, a lot cheaper. But, you know, he wanted us to, you know, have certain values and, you know, I think it helped some of us. Sorry, guys. I know some of you, whatever. I'm not going to go there. But listen, the whole point is he could have taken an easy route, right? Could have gone on welfare, could have taken us to public school, whatever. Didn't do it, right? So it deserves some respect. Being a dad now, I mean, I have two. He had 13 and I'm beside myself. So there's a lot of respect there, even more so now that I have kids, right? So again, you don't have to be BFFs, right? But I think if you carry this angst with you any further, I think it's going to taint a lot of your relationships, not just with your dad, but, you know, if you're married, your spouse, if you have kids now, they're going to kind of think of you the same way you think of your dad. It's just kind of, why not? Right? They haven't learned any other way. And so that cycle is going to continue generation to generation to generation, you know, and it's a shame. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to accept what is, not what you think. Because the mind's a crazy tool, man. It can conjure up all kinds of stuff. And we believe it all the time. And it gets us in trouble. Instead, if we just focus on what's in front of us and not judge it and just enjoy it and say, I, you know, I'm mad at you right now. You know what I mean? And I don't know why. And I understand, you know, this about you that I didn't see before. You know, let's just talk about it. You know what I mean? Help me understand. Maybe I'm missing something. And then the reverse is true. Maybe they're missing something about you that you haven't told them. Have the open and honest conversation. You know, and I think things will definitely move forward. I mean, that person gave you life. They love you. You know what I mean? Again, love is not always about, you know, having catches and teaching them how to drive and how to shave. And, you know, that's not love. That's just, you know, teaching you stuff. Love is, you know, they just accept you. When you were born, like my kids were born, they came out perfect. Why? Because there's no judgment, right? And it's not until they get older and people start making judgments about them where they become imperfect. Not to me, you know, not to me. My kids drive me absolutely crazy, but they're perfect. You know why? Because they came out that way. They learned a bunch of stuff and now they're communicating and they're allowed to make mistakes. It doesn't make them imperfect. But I think, you know, the way they act, they love themselves and, you know, and I love them just because I can't explain it. You know, they're part of my life now. You know what I mean? And they're part of my legacy. And, you know, I'm always teaching them about, you know, making mistakes is okay. You know what I mean? And they come home with a spelling test that's 12 out of 14 and we celebrate it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you did great. You tried hard. And, you know, do you understand why you got the other ones wrong? Yeah. Don't worry about it. No big deal. Math, same thing. Dude, that was really hard. You did great. I just want to fill them full of sense of, look, I'm allowed to make mistakes because I'm learning. You know, I'm 45 years old and I'm still learning. I don't know everything. Certainly you at however old you are, you're not done learning either. So, you know, for the person that gave you life, I think you owe them a lifetime of respect. And you may not like everything that they've done and you may not agree with what they're doing now, but they gave you life. And everything after that point, you know, it's kind of secondary. They brought you here. It's on you to do what you need to do. And you're not your thoughts. You're not your brain, right? You're what you do. You're your actions. At the end of the day, you are your actions. And you're making choices right now. And maybe your choices, I don't know, maybe to cut your dad out of your life. And, but I'm going to ask you once again, if today's the last day, and you never spoke to him again, because I can't speak to mine, would you carry that regret around for the rest of your life? Is it worth it to be right? And 20 years from now, when you're sitting, you know, missing your dad and, you know, kicking yourself for being so stupid, what day would you go back into your life to say, I wish I would have done something 20 years ago? And that could be today. Absolutely, that could be today. Because they deserve it. You know, hey, if they're an asshole, fine. They're alive. And you always have a chance. Some of us don't have that chance anymore. You have that chance. And you can either be selfish or you can try to repair this relationship. That's all I mean, what else is there? So it's not a Hallmark movie. It doesn't have to have a special ending. But I think it just starts with, you know, some little bit of recognition. A little bit of awareness of your own thought process, little understanding of the other side. And, you know, I think, you know, having a better relationship with your dad can only make your life better. Because I think they can accept you for who you are. They understand you just because, you know, there's a level of love that is not, you can't measure it. You can't define it. It's just, you know, it's your child, you know what I mean? And it'll be with you for the rest of your life, whether or not you're filled with all kinds of crazy stuff in your head, deep down inside at your core, that is your child and you will always be connected. But I think it's, you know, it's important that, you know, we try to repair these relationships big time. Before we get married, before we have kids, repair this relationship, please. And I think you're going to find that it's going to enrich your life a little bit. Otherwise, there's going to be a time comes where it's going to be too late. You're going to regret it for the rest of your life. And that's never something you can ever, ever get back. So I wish you well. For you dads out there, I wish you a happy Father's Day. I hope you enjoy it with your kids. For the kids that are possibly listening, call your dad, text them, email them, whatever. You know, grab coffee, have a chat over Zoom, I don't care, have a text conversation. But maybe agree to just take another step, take another shot, one more shot. I think it's worth it. I really do. But I wish all you dads a happy Father's Day, and I wish all you sons and daughters, you know, a great relationship with your father. It's been a long time since I had one with mine, and I miss him every single day. But I enjoy my kids so much that it kind of helps, you know, kind of ease that pain a little bit. And, you know, I hope that, you know, my kids are comfortable enough with me in the future to have these conversations with me as well. That's what I'm trying to do, is trying to teach them to communicate and admit that you're wrong. Because sometimes we are, guys and girls, sometimes we are. Anyway, happy Father's Day 2021. I wish everyone, you know, a very happy and healthy summer. I'm not sure how many more I'm going to do these over the summer. I'm just going to, you know, probably take a break, but this was really important for me to get out. And, you know, I hope it helps. And I appreciate your comments. Maybe I'm dead wrong too, but you know, in the spirit of what we're talking about, I'm allowed to be wrong. So I'm okay with that. And you may have a different story, and I'm okay with that too. But I wish you all well. Have a happy and safe summer. Happy Father's Day. And we'll talk soon. Take care.